Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
All right. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O.
Yeah.
With me, as always, this guy.
Nathan Bobathan.
You are Nathan Bobathan.
Banana fan of Fofathan.
Also known as Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nathan Heitzig.
Yeah.
What do you prefer?
Q.
Q?
Yeah.
Do you know that back in the day, that was what Matt Gentry went as. That was his name up in Colorado. Q Ball. So they called him Q.
Oh, because he's bald.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you could also call me Eagle Watcher if you want to.
Yes.
I've been known as that.
The Mighty Eagle Watcher.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I've been known as Tiddlywinks by some. I have also been known as the Lurker.
Ah, yes. And today you are Dapper Dan.
Dapper Dan.
Yeah, because you look very dapper.
Dapper
today,
Dan, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie? What is it? Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes, of course.
I got that soundtrack on vinyl. It's phenomenal.
Good job, you.
Thanks.
You are a hipster through and through, in a good way.
But this is how I'm not. Like I'm like totally into vinyl. I fix my own tube amplifiers.
I
fix my own like true hipsters go to Urban Outfitters and get like a crappy Crosley one that has no hi-fi speakers, and they listen to it out of the little, oh man, it sounds so good. No, it doesn't. It sounds like crap.
Right.
It sounds like I'm actually into hi-fi. Like I actually like clip speakers and like you know more than anyone, when I get into something, I kind of dive in head first and become like the ultimate at whatever that is.
No, I know. You win. Like, if you get into something before me, then it's over. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Or if I'm into something and then you get into it, then I don't want to get into it anymore because you always win. Because you're like, no, dude.
Except, like, you're really into video games. If I tried to get into video games, I'd still suck. Because my thumbs don't understand that they're supposed to move like human beings. So.
I can't tell you the last time I actually turned on an Xbox or a PS3. And you got into a video game that I got you into. And then you just made it weird.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Went there. Video games are a strange thing. I don't understand the lure of video games to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
You know, World of Warcraft was a video game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I don't understand, like, the whole holding a controller and moving your thumbs rapidly. And then, like, especially a Wii, so it's move your thumbs, shake. I don't understand that.
My children love it, so, yeah.
Mm.
They rock that.
I think anyone with, like, a shaking disease would be really good at it.
You're not allowed to say these things. It is Shock Therapy Live, and you can say whatever you want, apparently.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Now, last week, getting serious, at the end of the show, we got an anonymous email question from somebody who said, hey, can you tackle this? And it was a monstrous question.
Monstrous.
And so we said, we will kick off the show this week with said question. So, we got an email question.
Yeah.
If you would like to send in an anonymous email, studio@mystaticradio.com, or you can also chime in through Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
But you should call us because we get a backlog of emails and they don't get answered as quick. But if you call us, you're going to get your question answered. So
you really are. Yeah.
This is the question. It says, good morning, guys. I have a great friend who recently told me that he has been sleeping with his fiance. He also told me that she has been sleeping with another guy, too, which started in the past week. He's been broken by the Lord and is very repentant now and wants to forgive his fiance and restore their relationship. She is angry that he told me about the situation, though, and feels her trust has been betrayed and wants nothing to do with him. What advice can I give him? I know that there's been a lot of sin and there are consequences of that sin, but I want to help with the restoration he desires. But it seems my involvement has caused a greater rift between them. In addition, they serve with me in youth ministry at our church. I need to talk to our pastor about the situation, but he is begging me to wait. when/how do I approach this situation? I know that they can't serve in ministry now, but how do I approach the pastor without betraying his trust? Thanks for the godly counsel. It's a blessing to listen to you guys. Matt.
Man.
Oh, the wicked webs we weave when at first we practice to deceive. Man, a lot
of
sin.
Wizard of Oz? What was that from?
No, I think it was from Teletubbies.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So, you know, this is a really, really complicated situation. A lot of sin that's happened.
Yeah.
And I would first say this. Praise the Lord this happened before they were married. And I know that sounds very strange, but once you're married, you know, you're kind of sealed in this union,
yeah.
This union of marriage. I would honestly say the best thing in this situation, I'm sure, you know, he wants to see restoration. She obviously doesn't want to see restoration. She's mad. I think the best thing to do in this situation would be to possibly see this as a sign from the Lord and end the relationship. I think that, especially if she has a lot of bitterness and she has anger and she's cheated on him and there's a lot of this stuff going on, I can just personally say if I was in a relationship going into marriage and that happened before I got married, I would be, I would take that as a sign that maybe this relationship isn't the best. I'd be out of there. Peace out.
Peacing out.
Now, as far as what you can do, I would encourage him, to forgive. And to seek restoration, because that is the highest goal. And as long as that's in his heart, that is a good thing. So I would encourage him to do that, but I would also encourage him to be wise, to be cunning as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. And so, did I misquote that? Cunning as a serpent, gentle as a... Is it dove? I think it's dove.
Wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove?
No.
Wise as a raptor. Because raptors are wise. Remember
girl,
Jurassic Park?
Clever girl.
Exactly.
Wise.
I'm not going to do that.
Wise as a raptor. Gentle as a fuzzy caterpillar.
There you go. And so, yeah. Well, here's what's tough. Because you're right. Restoration, that's what it is. That's, we serve a God of restoration, of redemption and hope. And what about this girl, though? Because we're saying, hey, we need to restore this relationship. And yet, there's many a broken relationships in this email. You know what
I
mean? And so, listening to it and listening to the girl being so angry about the fact that this friend, you know, that the boyfriend told the friend and now she's just angry about it. It's the idea of being, man, when you're confronted, when your sin is out there, you can respond in one of two ways. You can humble yourself. You can be broken. You can repent of it. You could turn away from it, or you can harden your heart and become bitter and angry.
Yeah,
and it kind of sounds like
and
that.
I look at this, and it seems kind of flip flopped. If there's anyone who should be angry in this situation, it's him. She cheated on him with another guy, and yet she's angry because he's forgiving her and told his good buddy about it to get some counsel.
Right.
It seems like, okay, wait, you're mad at me. And you're the one.
Yeah.
So I just see this. I just see this pattern. And I would say this too in marriage. What I've seen more often than not, if there's something you see in someone that you say, "Oh, that's going to change when we get married," it doesn't change. It just magnifies itself, in whatever way, shape, or form. So if this is happening now, chances are it's going to happen in the future as well.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that God can't change it, but if we're going to look at habits, then that would probably be something that's going to continue on.
Yeah, so here's the other part of the question. They serve with him in youth ministry.
Yeah.
Now, he obviously wants to talk to the pastor about it, but the friend is saying, wait. What would be your advice?
I would say, I'd sit down with him and say, look, I want you to be able to be the one that tells the pastor. I don't want to have to rat you out, but I'm not also just going to sit by and let you live in sin and let you live with this lie. So I'm going to give you to the end of the week to talk to the pastor.
Okay.
If at the end of the week you haven't talked to him, I'm going to talk to him. So
All
you
right.
give him a week. Say, look, I'm going to give you a whole week. You talk to him whenever you want to. You sit down and talk to him. But if you don't, or if you, like, you know, hide the truth or try to make it not seem what it is, then I'm going to have to talk to him.
All right. We got a pastor from Hobbs actually on the phone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hello, Static.
Hello. What's up, guys?
How's
What's up, man?
I just learned this past week, and I don't, like you were saying, a week, and I think that's perfect. That's a great timeline. But maybe to urge him on a little bit is to give him the option. I can tell him, you can tell him, or we can tell him.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was a perfect thing to hear because it was talking about students that confess something in maybe a small group setting or something like that. And so for like a sin like this, or like a, man, a huge scenario like this, I don't know if that'd be an option to think about, but
it's certainly
an interesting situation this guy's a part of. So,
man, I love that. I love the concept that you said we can tell him, because I like that. And it's so funny. The first thing I think of is that Mumford and Sons song: "As brothers, we will stand and we'll hold your hand."
Yes.
Hold. So it's like I think that's so great. You know, we're called to lift each other up, and so you know, I think that's a good point. Let him know. Look, I love you. I'm here for you. I'll go in there with you. I'll sit down and talk to him with you. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it keeps that trust factor alive, because that's the whole issue here, is he doesn't want to betray trust. And so when you say, "I'm with you, I'm a part of this with you," then you can't deny that. That's trust, that's love, and that's being a follower of Christ and getting messy, you know?
Yep. So, there it is, man. Well, thank you. All right. I can think back to a time where I had to go before a friend, go before a boss, go before people and confess, man, just something in my life that was not right. And I will never forget my best friend who stood next to me and said, "I'm going to go in there with you. I love you, and let's do this." And that person is the greatest friend in my life. And so maybe that's it. It could strengthen that relationship. Mm. It could, that's good. I like that.
I like it a lot.
I, you, or we. Hey, you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Quite literally right now. There's like some static shock stuff going on. It's weird.
Static shock.
If you would like to chime in on the conversation, or if you would like to ask a question, well, that's what we're here for. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so by emailing us, studio@mystaticradio.com.
.com.
Yes, dude.
Hey, I think we actually have another question here. We've actually got two. We've got an email question and we've got a Facebook question.
All right.
Let's do the Facebook one first because it's kind of funny. Is the next pope going to be the Antichrist?
Really?
Verily, verily, I say unto you. Well, that depends.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. We honestly, with the asking if the next pope is going to be the Antichrist, I assume, one, this question is possibly a joke and you're not being serious.
Yeah.
But if you are being serious, the true answer is we don't know if he's going to be the Antichrist. There's a few requisites that the Antichrist has to have according to the Bible. He has to be from a certain part of the country. He has to have a few things that are telltale signs of whether or not he is the Antichrist or not. So ultimately, we won't know if he's the Antichrist until he would reveal himself as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the biblical concept on that. We can't just know who, the next one, he's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And we don't even know if any of the popes will be the Antichrist, or, you know, it's kind of a weird question.
It was a big deal this week. The pope resigned for the first time in like 600 something years. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, maybe. Let's do the email question, then we'll take a quick break, because
yes,
I know we got the phone lines going, but let's take care of this and then we can take a quick break real quick.
Wow. Okay, the question says, "Hey, Steve-O and Nate, I'm having a problem ministering to a friend of mine. He told me yesterday that he felt that God is at peace and feels blessed for having life."
Okay.
He went on to say that he still thinks homosexuals should be allowed to get married because it is their right. He also said he thinks the death penalty isn't right because humans shouldn't play God, and people who may be killed might be saved later on in life. I told him that Christians shouldn't tolerate sin in any extent, and the true love is not to accept other people's lifestyles, but to tell them the truth. About the death penalty, I told him that God knows everyone's heart, even while they're in the womb. I believe he's been convicted by the Holy Spirit many times, but is still holding on to his worldview with all his life. What should I do or say next? He's developed a false belief that Christianity is all about peace and love, which it is, but peace only comes through Jesus Christ, not Buddha or Muhammad. Frankly, I'm tired of him always arguing with me. What should I do? Thanks and God bless." So here's the thing with this question. It sounds like you really know the answer. Everything you said is really solid. That Jesus Christ is all about peace and he is about love. But that peace and love only comes through Christ. But I would say this, God is a God of peace. Jesus does love peace. He does love mercy. But he's also a God of judgment. And both of those attributes are very present in the Bible. As a matter of fact, we can't take one attribute and esteem it higher than the other. So God is a God of judgment. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew that no one judges but he. The Father has given him the power to judge, and no one judges but he. And so that indicates that not only does Jesus judge sin, but Jesus has always been the one, the member of the Trinity, who judges sin. That means in the Old Testament, when you find these crazy stories about God smiting someone, that's Jesus doing that judgment, upholding that judgment. So Jesus is a judger of sins. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians says, "I tell you the truth, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor homosexuals nor revilers will inherit the kingdom of heaven." And so the concept that just everyone goes to heaven is a false concept. As a matter of fact, Jesus says again in Matthew, "In that day many will come to me and say, 'Lord, Lord, did I not do many marvelous works in your name?' And he'll say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" So there's a very real circumstance of Jesus indicating that some will be sent to hell. As a matter of fact, there's also the story in the Bible where it says that many believed in him, but he did not give himself to them because he knew what was in their hearts. So Jesus does not accept every human being. Jesus doesn't just say, "Oh yeah, keep doing whatever you want to do." Now, he will accept you if you turn to him and you run to him, but he's not just going to force his way into your life.
Yeah.
So we have to keep that in mind, that God is a God of judgment. And here's the question, an answer and a question. God is going to judge you. God is going to judge your sins. The question is, are you going to let him do that judging 2,000 years ago on the cross? Or are you going to let him do that judging when you stand before him at the great white throne and he says to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? So we have two options. Sin's going to be judged. We can't help that. We can either let Christ take the penalty for that, or we can take the penalty for that. So
yeah. Speaking of judgment, one thing in there that he threw in was the idea of the death penalty, and how, you know, we as Christians, you know, well, we can't allow for the death penalty, whatever was said. When really the death penalty was instituted many a time in the Old Testament. Paul talks about the ruling authorities, the governing authorities in the New Testament, whether it be in Romans. Romans 13 is the immediate one that I thought to about the governing authorities. And I'm not going to say that, hey, the death penalty is great and fantastic, and we should talk about the death penalty, and you know, as Christians, we should believe in the death penalty. However, I would also not be quick to say that, you know, well, God hates the death penalty, and what happens is, you know, we got to let these guys stay in prison forever because God can change their heart. I don't know, man. That just kind of threw me for a loop for a second. So I would go examine Romans chapter 13 as it talks about being subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God.
Mm.
Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. And sometimes those judgments, man, back in the book of Exodus, murder, death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
That was God's law back then. You could also go to adultery. You could go to all these different things where people were stoned. Adultery in Leviticus, homosexuality also in Leviticus, being a false prophet in Deuteronomy, they were executed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, God often showed mercy. Jesus demonstrated that with the woman caught in adultery and said, "All right, cool. Whoever's without sin, cast the first stone." So there's an argument for both, but
yeah.
I would be careful before you say, "Well, obviously, God." You do not know. You do not know that.
Yeah.
You cannot say, "Well, obviously, God, this." Unless it is found in Scripture and you can back it up scripturally, you've got to be careful with opinions.
Yeah, and again, Jesus talks about trees, and he says, "A tree that does not bear forth fruit is dead, and I will cut it down and throw it in the fire."
Yeah.
And so the Bible talks in numerous spots in the Old Testament and New Testament about the judgment of God.
Also,
and sin will be judged.
Yeah, it will. And I'm very thankful for the death penalty in one sense, because without the death penalty, i.e. crucifixion, Jesus would not have gone to the cross if there wasn't a death penalty.
Yeah.
Therefore, our sins would never have been atoned for. And that's one quote-unquote death penalty I'm actually thankful for, because that means I get to spend eternity with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who endured that death penalty for us.
Yeah, and just a few verses from the gospel on the concept of judgment and hell.
Yeah.
Matthew 25:41 says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Matthew 10:38 says, 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy soul and body in hell." We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So you see a contrast there, that if you don't believe in him, you will perish. If you do believe in him, you shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah.
So there's a contrast there, and we have to keep that in mind as we read the Bible.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. I'm Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
And, Nathan Bathan.
Yeah.
Bo Bathan.
Nathan Bo Bathan. We got to take a quick break. Coming right back, we got a couple people on hold. Phone lines are jammed. So if you would like to get in a question, you can email us studio@mystaticradio.com or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
The apostles, as we left them in the Gospels, just go back a little bit in your thinking. When we left them before, they were all huddled together in an upper room, scared to death. Now they're bold. Before, they couldn't even talk. They were shy. Peter was with a servant girl, remember, in the garden of the high priest. And now he's like really articulate. Uses words like foreknowledge. Here's a fisherman, and he's bold, and he's articulate. What happened? How is it that timid, obscure fishermen become these bold, articulate proclaimers of the gospel? There's two reasons. There's a new presence, and there's a new power.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you visit skipheitzig.com/hotspot.
Hey, this is Pastor Dave with Agents for Christ, and you're listening to Evangelism Minute. Ever heard someone say, "Hey, don't get comfortable"? It usually means that you've got work to do. As Christians, we're not called to get comfortable. We're called to get radical. The Apostle Paul suffered much for the gospel, but even in prison, it couldn't stop him from sharing it. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all these things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul was more concerned about others than his own comfort, and we should pray for the same heart. For more evangelism resources, go to gottracts.com. That's GOTTRACTS.com. And remember, be bold, share your faith.
Okay, you guys, it's been a long time since I've done contest rules and stuff, but I think I know what you're looking for.
Static Radio Contest Rules. Employees of Static, its affiliated organizations, and immediate families, including household pets, are not eligible to enter or win. However, if you own a small marsupial, we will consider that because, let's face it, marsupials are pretty cool. Only one member per household eligible to win within a 30-day time period. Prizes will be held for up to 10 business days, and for those living outside the Albuquerque metro area and Static Radio translator cities, prizes will be mailed within the same time period. However, if you happen to win a cannon that shoots live rats, then you're on your own to figure that one out. Identification will be required for prizes valued at $50 or more. All entrants to any Static Radio contest both imply and agree to participate in the contest and obey the rules by their participation in the contest. All prizes must be accepted as awarded. Prizes are non-exchangeable, non-transferable, and are not redeemable for cash or other prizes. Static retains the right to substitute a prize with any other similar prize of equal or greater value in the event the original prize offered is not available for any given reason. If a concert or other ticketed event has been awarded as a prize and the event is postponed, rained out, canceled, or does not occur as planned for another reason beyond our control, let's say like the rapture, Static will not be responsible for replacing the prize. Winner permits Static to use their name, voice, caricature, and or likeness without prior notice or compensation for promotional purposes in connection with the contest in either broadcast or print forms or giant nougat covered billboard. Winner is responsible for all costs associated with all travel to any venue or event for which a prize is awarded unless otherwise specified. No purchase necessary. Static Radio's contest rules are subject to change.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
All right, welcome back to the show.
Yes. Got a few crazy questions.
Yeah, if you would like to chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or of course 505-338-3700. The phone lines are jammed right now, so let's take care of some of these. On line one, we have an anonymous call. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling because I recently discovered that my husband is a cross-dresser or transvestite. I'm not really sure what the difference is. He said that he is not gay, that he likes to dress up in women's clothing. He did tell me that this started when we were first married. He started trying on my underwear and things, and then he felt so guilty about it that he put it away and didn't do anything until more recently. And he did disclose to me that he was trying on my clothes and my personal items. And then it started where he started ordering things online, like a wig, high heels, personal undergarments, and that he's been dressing up like that. He told me that he's not going to disclose any of this information to our children, to our family, anybody. He's a very, you would never know. He's a military, macho, worked out. He's a BA in the gym and running and exercising and everything. He's in his late 40s.
Man.
I'm not planning on divorcing him or anything like that. And when he first disclosed this to me, I told him that I supported him. He has, in the past 2 years, become an agnostic as opposed to becoming a very strong Christian. He was a Christian leader. He's a very good man. He's a good provider. Everything was going fine.
So wait, you said he's become an agnostic? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay,
so he's not a Christian leader. He's an agnostic.
He's not a Christian leader, and my kids are devastated because of that. They're old enough to know better. They're afraid that he's going to hell now. It's just rocked my world, and the kids, like I said, they have no idea what's going on with him.
Man. Now, did he say anything about why he's cross-dressing or why he's doing that?
He just feels like that's always been a part of him, and that he's come from a pretty traumatic childhood. And he feels like that's always been a part of him, but he's never been able to express it.
Hmm.
He won't go to church. He will not go to counseling. I'm in counseling, and my counselors, Christian counseling, and they basically told me to pray for him, which I've already been. They basically haven't given me very good advice.
Yeah. This is what I would say in this situation, and number one, I don't want to go against anything that your counselors are saying or what they're saying, but I will just give you what I would give someone if they were in my office. Now, obviously, there's not grounds for divorce, and I wouldn't, even if there were, I'd never recommend or say that you should divorce. But I do think there's grounds for separation. And what that can look like is you say, look, I love you. I want to see our relationship be the best that it can be. I want to see you be the Christian, husband and father that you should be and that I know you can be. But I'm not going to let my kids, live or see or be surrounded by what you're doing or the way that you're living. And so, I'm not going to divorce you, but I am going to separate. I'm going to maybe move in with my mom or move in with someone that you know, and bring the kids for a period of time and say, when you're ready to get counseling, when you're ready to change what you're doing because it's not natural, it's not right, then I'm ready to forgive that and mend this relationship. But I think that it's important to show that you love him, but at the same time, you're not going to tolerate or stand for the way he's living or what he's doing. And so I think that to separate for a time and explain to him why you're doing that it can be something that can be helpful to do to see how he responds to that.
Yeah, my question immediately is where does it stand now? You said in the beginning when he told you this, you accepted that and said, all right, I'm going to love you no matter what.
Unconditional love has always been my, you know, I've told my kids, you know, no matter what happens, I will administer unconditional love. I've had their friends come over I'm always the house where all the kids come and the kids that have problems come to me. I'm the peacemaker. They run away from home. The kids come to me. I talk to the parents. We work things out. I've always been the one that people come to cry on my shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
And he's seen that. And now here I am having to deal with him. And to be honest, I am disabled, and I don't know how I would function. I don't have an income. Actually, I do have a small disability income, but it's not enough to live on.
Okay.
So I feel kind of trapped, you know. I'd have to find... I do have a friend that would probably let me stay with her. I hadn't even thought of doing that.
Yeah. And do you have any family close by?
Unfortunately, all of my family has passed away except for one sister.
Okay. So this is, you know, I would even maybe sit down and talk to him about this and say, you know, I think he probably knows if he felt guilty about it the first time he did it, that he knows it's not natural, that he knows it's not right. Is try to sit down and express to him again, reiterate the fact that you love him and that you have an unconditional love for him and that, you desire to be married to him and make it, let him know that he is loved, let him know that he is wanted. But that you're not going to stand and tolerate for the lifestyle he's living.
Right.
And say, I don't feel comfortable living in this house with you, doing what you're doing. I don't feel comfortable having my kids live in this house with you. And also ask him, I've seen couples do this before, say, I'd like to move out for a period of time until you, get your life right and see if he'd be willing to help you and the kids do that. And I know that sounds like, man, why would he do that? But I've seen husbands do that. They recognize, man, they still love their wives. They realize they have some issues they need to work out. And they've helped with expenses. Because again, you're not divorcing, you're separating. And they're still his kids and you're still his wife. And so he should still support you guys. But I would just try to sit down with him and be very honest with the fact, not brushing over that this is wrong,
right,
that this is not right. The way you're living your life is a very heinous and disgusting thing to be doing, and really just reiterate and just show the fact that you love him, but you're not going to stand for the way he's living.
And I know that you are saying he's agnostic now, but you as a godly Christian woman, you bring scripture into it because you do adhere to a biblical standard. Deuteronomy chapter 22 talks about this. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things are an abomination to the Lord. You could take it to the New Testament. There are many times it talks about it. Romans 1, I think of Paul talking about God giving them up to their own desires, these unnatural things. And, you know, he can come back with the, well, this is natural to me. It's been a part of me since I was a child. But we are born into sin, and we are born into tendencies. And it is a matter of overcoming said tendencies. But I would absolutely, I mean, to take it back to scripture. As you said, this, he was a godly man. He was a leader in the church. And who knows? Maybe God's word will speak into his heart.
Are you guys still sexually active? I know that's an awkward question, but.
Semi.
Okay.
It's different because he's not there. You know what I mean? Well, what's the Deuteronomy scripture you quoted?
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5.
Okay. It's not quite the same. He wants to introduce toys.
Okay. It sounds like this is why I would say this needs to be dealt with drastically.
Yeah.
Because this is the beginning, I can tell you that. He is starting to go down a path that's going to get worse and worse and worse, and eventually it might go into male attraction, eventually it might go into different things that you think right now that could possibly not be a possibility. This is a path that will lead to more deviant sexual sin within his life. And so if it's not dealt with drastically now, it's just going to get worse. And he's going to get harder in his heart, and he'll be less receptive to the Spirit and less receptive to counseling.
Yeah.
So it should be dealt with drastically and dramatically right now to help it avoid going to a deeper area.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just slowly but surely getting, growing more carnal, more wanting to experiment, wanting to just go after these desires of the flesh that are somehow overtaking him. You mentioned that this was something from youth that, you know, he's this macho, manly man. Can you pinpoint anything that has happened in the last few years of your life, maybe in the marriage or family or something that, I mean, I'm trying to like wrap my mind around it as to why this could happen. Is there anything that you can say, well, you know, it it kind of happened around this time. Is there anything that happened in the marriage or in his life?
Well, I thought that he was going through the mail crisis that they go through,
okay.
And that really started pumping him up to work out. And he's really a beast. He's like I said, he's in the military, and he can outdo all the military guys that are underneath him and younger than him. And every, they have certain workouts that they have to do and certain trainings that they have to do, and he beats everybody. And I thought that was sort of his midlife crisis.
Yeah.
That's kind of when he started changing.
Hmm.
I do have the gift of discernment, and I've always started wondering if maybe he was gay. And I talked to one of my friends about it, and we've been praying about it, that hopefully that's not the truth, because he has pushed away from me. And like I said, our intimacy levels have definitely changed and are very infrequent.
Hmm. So again, I would reiterate the same advice. I would sit down with him, talk to him, be honest with him, let him know that what he's doing, the way he's living, his character, how he's being a husband, how he's even being a father isn't right. It's not good, and that you're not going to tolerate it, that you love him, that you desire a relationship with him, you desire to be married to him, and you desire him, physically, intimately, but that the way he's living his life right now will not be accepted and it will not be tolerated, and that he needs to sit down, needs to get counseling, and I would definitely say that is something you need to really stand firm on, because again, if you don't do it now, it's just going to get worse, and it's going to, I believe, get to a place where he falls into much worse sexual sin, and at that point the marriage will be at a place where it will be unsalvageable, so I would say you act now before things get worse or they get to a level that is more severe.
Yeah. And my other bigger question is, he's been having biblical discussions with the kids.
Huh.
Children are very strong Christians, and they'll bring up a certain religious topic, and he will shoot them down.
Hmm.
He's very biblically wise. But he's also studied a lot of other religions, and he questions them, but not in a good way, how it's good to everything. And he just drives them to tears.
So again, everything that I'm hearing you say is reiterating the fact of kind of the counsel that I'm giving you is you need to sit him down and let him know that what he's doing, the way that he's leading this family is not righteous or biblical, and you're not going to stand for it.
Yeah.
So again, this is a pattern, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And so you need to stand your ground on that, and shepherd your children the way that God's called you to shepherd your children, and love your husband with a sacrificial, selfless love. But at the same time, make sure that you're keeping your family safe.
Yeah.
Yes. And one last thing, and this is something that my kids are traumatized about, is has he lost his salvation?
Well, a Christian cannot lose their salvation. And so there's something the Bible talks about called apostasy, which it talks about people who once walked with God and then they walked away from God. And there's this term, a theological term called apostasy, which ultimately means that it would relate to what Matthew says about, seeds that are sown, that there was a seed that was sown in their lives that looked like it sprang forth with life, but it never had a true foundation. It never had a true grounding. And so what the Bible would say is that there was never salvation to begin with. Now, do I know that that's what's happening in his life? No.
Right.
Could he be going through a season like the prodigal son where he's running and he'll return? Yes. But I don't know that because I can't look at his heart. I can't judge his heart. I can tell you what the Bible says about sanctification, that we're not just called to come forward and say a prayer, but we're called to live a righteous life. The Bible says, don't walk in darkness, but walk in light. It says in Romans, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? No. Certainly not. And so if we are habitually living a life of sin, and that is a mark in our life over a period, a long period of time, then it does lead us to question whether or not salvation has ever taken place in that person's life, because true salvation will always lead to sanctification. But again, that's something that I can't look at and determine. That's something only God can look at and determine. And that's something that even you might have an easier time to look at and look at some of those questions and answer some of those questions, being that you're around him on a frequent basis. But that's a really hard topic to tread upon, because we can't look into someone's heart. We can only look at the outside.
Yeah,
that's true. I've known him for so long, and he was always such a good, strong Christian man, and then all of a sudden my world is upside down.
Yeah, and you know, and that's so difficult, because the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful. And so a lot of people, I've known people who have lived a very deceitful life, making it look like they're Christians on the outside, but really having no true repentance in their heart. It's all been a facade. And so it's hard to judge that. But I think regardless of where whatever camp he falls in, you still need to stand your ground, sit down with him, be honest with him, and you know, love, but love with a hard love. You know, sometimes the love that God has for us is a love that is a hard love. It's a disciplinary love, and he disciplines us because he loves us.
That's right. I know that to be true.
Well, I'm so sorry for everything that you're going through. Can we pray for you before we let you go?
I would love that.
And what was your name again?
I was writing that story.
Okay. Well, Lord God, we just come before you right now, and we just lift up this situation and everything that's going on in this couple's life, Lord. And I just pray that you'll give our sister and you wisdom, Lord, and that you'll give her the words to say. You'll give her a love, Lord, but a love that speaks truth, a love that doesn't tolerate sin, Lord, and a love that understands the path that her husband is going down is a very dangerous path, Lord. I pray that right now you'll begin speaking to her husband's heart, that your Holy Spirit will begin to convict him of the sin that's in his life, and that when she confronts him, Lord, he'll be receptive to that confrontation, Lord, and he'll understand that she's doing it in love, and she's doing it because she loves her kids, she loves her family, and she loves him, Lord. And I pray that he will be receptive to that, and that he'll desire to change. And Lord, if he isn't, and he doesn't show that change in his life, God, I pray that you'll give her the strength she needs to take drastic action for a time, and to show him that she means what she says, Lord, and that possibly that discipline, Lord, and that action will lead him to repentance, Lord. But we pray that you'll break into his heart, Lord. You'll break down the barriers and the walls of his life and speak truth, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
well,
you, God.
You know, keep us in touch with this. Let us know, you know, send us an email, give us a call, let us know how that happens and how we can pray for you. And we'd love to stay involved in the situation whatever way we can, all right?
Okay, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
God bless.
All right.
Okay, God bless you guys.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We got to take one final quick break, but phone line open now, 505-338-3700. We also got an anonymous email to get to, and we'll do that right after this. Steve-O and Nate.
Wow.
Yeah. Shock Therapy Live. We'll be right back.
This is The Wire.
Hey, so this is how this works. You have a free event going on, and it goes right here in this spot.
Check. All right. St. Michael's is having a Friday night musical feast called Sweet. Do you hear how ridiculous I sound? Stop laughing. It's February 1st. It's February 1st? It's February 1st. I can't do this.
I'm going to go take a cough drop now.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at MyAestheticRadio.com.
Yeah.
This is a call to all the lovers.
Of skateboarding.
What?
Valentine's Day party going down at The Mix. The Mix wants to let the local skate culture know how they love and appreciate skateboarders with all their heart. There will be free burgers, hot dogs, bonfire, and s'mores. It's going down Thursday, February 14th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Mix Game Room and Skate Park. It's a free event, so invite everyone you know. Details at themixabq.org.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Wow, welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig with you.
Crazy morning, bro.
Nathan Bobathan.
Nathan Bobathan.
Let's get right back to the phone calls, shall we?
Yeah, we got two on the line.
Lines are jammed, so let's, yeah.
We got Xander on the line. Xander, what's up, man?
Hello, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Can't complain.
Good. Well, yeah, I was calling in regards to talking to my mom the other day. I went over to the house, and I got this little sister, right? And growing up, my mom, this is about my mom, okay?
Okay.
But, you know, it has a lot to do with my little sister, so I don't want to bash too much on my little sister. She's going through some stuff right now. But
okay.
Growing up together, we both got into drugs pretty good when we were like 13, you know, and we both were raised Christian, but, you know, that didn't really take with my little sister, and I always kind of held it in my heart. One day, you know, I realized, you know, it's one thing to walk, one thing to talk about, another thing to walk. So I got saved. I got cleaned up. Well, my little sister's still, you know, dealing with stuff. There was one time she tried to commit suicide, and she just destroyed her liver in the process. And she gets out. She's like, well, I'm going to change my life. She moves to Chicago. She moves back, and like a week later, because she misses this boy she's with, and my mom, you know, supportive of everything, I guess, trying to be. Well, my little sister breaks up with a boyfriend, is going through a rough time, starts drinking again, and my mom has her move in, okay? So that's kind of where we're at right now. What I need, or what I would like to have happen, is if you guys could kind of talk about maybe tolerance as a Christian. You see, when my sister moved to Chicago, we came together, and we had to talk about what we would do to help her when she came back, rather, when she was decided to come back. And, well, we decided, you know, we weren't going to tolerate the drinking, any drugs, you know, and if that was going on, we just weren't going to let it happen. Well, you know, she's back with my mom now, and my mom knows that she's been drinking and doing these things, and she keeps complaining, you know. I went over there, like I said, and she was talking about how she doesn't know what to do, she doesn't know how to help, and I said, well, you know, Mom, if you want to be solid in Christ, you need to have a tolerance boundary. You need to say to Kika, you know, if you're going to continue to do these things, I can't allow you to stay here. My little sister doesn't pay rent. You know, she's 21 years old. She doesn't have a job. She hasn't been able to really hold one down. She's kind of depressed. It's a family thing. You know, everybody's kind of got these emotions going on. Everybody's that way anyway. But, what kind of advice can you give my mom to kind of guide her to give a good example in Christ? Because in my mind, I've been trying to support her and tell her, you know, maybe have, tell her, you know, you're breaking these rules. You can't do that. And when she continues to break them, tell her, you know, she needs to draw a line somewhere. And she just kind of keeps letting her go back and forth with it. What do you guys think?
Totally. And, you know, it's funny. This is really more of a parenting question than it is an alcoholics question.
Right, yeah.
And this really goes back to something we talked about last week. There was a parent who wrote in that was their child was kind of living in sin and continuing in sin, and kind of the same issue of drawing that boundary. And I think you hit the nail on the head. She needs to draw a boundary, and she needs to stick to that boundary. I would say that as long as your sister is living under her roof, she gets to make the rules. And if she breaks those rules, there's consequences to breaking those rules.
Yeah.
Because it's a difficult thing. As a parent, we always love our kids, and we'll always accept our kids if they return home, no matter how bad they've been. We'll always accept them. But at the same time, we'll accept them, but not the sin that they're living in. And I think that's the key. And your mom needs to understand that it's good to accept your sister, but it's not good to accept the sin she's living in. So I agree with you. There needs to be some very clear boundaries set that she says, look, if you continue on in this, you're not welcome in my home. And she needs to stick to that, and she needs to live by that. And I think of what Romans chapter 1, verse 32 says. It says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And there's another verse in the Bible that says that that they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, neither will those who approve of such things. And so it's not just bad to sin, but it's bad to approve of people who are sinning. And so any time that we let someone around us, or we let someone close to us, and we let them continue on in sin without telling them that they're sinning, or without telling them that what they're doing or the way they're living is wrong, we run the risk of being partially responsible for ultimately their damnation, for ultimately the consequences of their life, because we're seeing their sin, we're seeing the direction their life is going, and we're not warning them, we're not letting them know.
Right.
It would be like being in a boat, and you're going to the fork in a river, and you're headed towards a calm section of the river, and they're headed towards a waterfall. If you knew that waterfall was in that one direction, and you didn't tell them, and you didn't stop them, you'd be responsible for them going off that waterfall and perishing. So Anytime we see someone living in sin, we have to make sure that, you know, I just even think of the last call we had from this lady dealing with her husband. We have to love, but love in truth, and let them know that, look, what you're doing, the way you're living is wrong. And sometimes yeah. that love has to be a harsh love, and sometimes that love has to be a love that has action with it. So I think that your mom needs to have this kind of love for your sister at this point.
So true, yeah. Thank you guys for affirming that with me. I think, Steve, you had, I quoted that one, that last show you guys did, talk, I think it was that the young lady, yeah, who she was still sitting in and with that man. And, yeah, Steve, I think you were saying that, even your experience, you know, I think you were saying that your mom at one yeah. point kind of kicked you out, said, all right, well, you know, I love
yeah.
you, but I'm not going to let it go on.
Yeah, she know? Had to. And you know what? She continued to pray for me every single day, and I'm so thankful for that. And I wish I could say, that, man, and that next week I was clean and sober and not sleeping with anybody and it was great. Man, it was some mucky, like crappy, awful years, you know, with my yeah. life. But I had to get to a point where, man, God stripped everything away and I saw the consequences of my actions and I had to be stripped of, it was that broken heart and that was it. It was that, getting me to a place of stripping me from everything that
now let's ask this, because even though at the time it might not have really helped, as a matter of fact, it might have made you bitter and angry
right.
when she did that.
Right.
Do you think you'd be where you were now if she hadn't have taken that drastic action?
Right. No, absolutely not. Because as long as a parent is condoning, you know, I'm the oldest, and I have a couple siblings who all three of us we kind of went down this road, and the way my mom responded to the siblings, it's interesting to see the outcome of each one of us, because the response was different for the three of us and the outcome has been different for the three of us. And so, you know, it's as a parent, dude, I can't fathom that. It's a really difficult thing, but at the same time, on a very minute scale, we talk about, you know, our toddlers playing in the front and running towards that street. And when we grab them, we yank them back and we lovingly tell them how absolutely idiotic that is.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get hit by a car, and we love you, and I care more about their security. I care more about things like that than how they feel in that moment, you know? And so I think sometimes we just want them to feel better and want them to just always be okay and just let's hug it out and everything's going to feel great. And we're allowing our emotions to control that situation where,
exactly.
you know, we got to throw down that love, and sometimes it's tough, and it's, man, I'm not going to even pretend like it's going to be easy for your mom, because that's difficult.
No, oh gosh, it's so hard for her. You can
yeah.
see the internal struggle every time we gets brought up, you know, she's
yeah.
just like, but that's it, you know, we can't react in the flesh. We need to
right.
react in the spirit, and our
yeah.
spirit is rooted in the word of God.
Amen.
And we don't, like you, Skip was saying, or not Skip, I'm sorry, bro. his son was saying, you know, it's we have to stay rooted in God. We have
yeah.
it says, you know, we can't tolerate it, you know. I like
yeah.
that example with the running in the street. I use the same thing with a kid grabbing a hot stove. You know, it's pretty and it seems warm, but if you touch it, it's going to hurt. Well,
right.
what's one of the best ways they're going to learn? Just let them,
they
touch
it,
going to grab
yeah.
it.
And they'll
yeah.
remember, you know. And so God takes away that pain of touching the stove, but he doesn't
right.
let you forget it.
And I think
exactly.
and I think
exactly.
even
remember it.
I think even this concept of church discipline, I think that this is applicable as well to this situation, and that says that if your brother is sinning, and it would also be your sister, it's just someone in Christ, if they're sinning,
right.
you go to them and
yeah.
you confront them with their sin. If they don't heed it, you go to them with two or three witnesses,
yeah.
And then if they don't heed that, you come to them with the church. And it says that if they don't respond to the church, that you treat them as a heathen and you cast them out from among your presence. And so that's a really, really severe verse, but that means that
yeah.
you know, you confront her, and it sounds
yeah.
like you guys have. You confront her with a group, it sounds like you have. The next step would be that you confront her with the church. And if she doesn't respond to the church, that you guys cast her out. And that's a really hard thing to do. But again, the father did that in the story of the prodigal son, and eventually the son returns. So that's
yeah.
what you pray. You pray that she'll eventually return back to fellowship. And when she does, you receive her with open arms.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, we got to fall on our butts, you know, before we can kind of climb back up with a better stature. So
yeah.
I appreciate it, guys. Really do.
All right, man.
Have
God bless.
Day.
God bless y'all.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got like
jam-packed,
a minute and a half. Let's try and get line one. Static.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I know that this isn't as serious as the previous situations that have been discussed this morning,
okay.
but I'm a college student at UNM, and
okay.
I say this loosely, a friend, in the loose term, I found out is the co-owner of the page Unum Confessions. I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
Yes, someone called in about that.
Yeah, we were talking.
It's like the sleazebag page.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very raunchy. I mean, it's disgusting. Like, I purposely, like, everyone's like this, like that. I refuse to even look at the page. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Anyways, and on top of all that, she considers herself a Christian.
Okay.
And I don't even know how to approach the situation because she could fight me in either way about it. Like, oh, it's just funny stories and just this and that. But it's like, these are things people should not know. These are things that should not be put on a social network. These actually tear people down when you
right.
read them. It's
yeah.
not positive. It's not encouraging. And it really does affect people. And I need some help on how to approach it, especially since she considers herself a Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man, I would use the same verse that we just used for this last guy who called in Xander, and that is Romans chapter 1, verse 32. So Romans chapter 1 says in verse 18, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." And it continues on, and it says, it talks about those giving over to the sinful desires, giving it over to sexual immorality, degrading of their bodies, exchanging the truth for lies, immorality. It talks about all this stuff, and then it ends up with verse 32. It says, "Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them."
Yeah.
And I would say for her, although she might not be doing it, she, by having this page, is approving of what these people are doing.
Yeah.
She's accepting what they're doing. She's saying that it's funny. She's saying that people should gossip about it and talk about it, and that's wrong. That's sinful. And she's basically opening up a page for people to brag about how they're going to hell, how they're sinning, and that's wrong.
Ephesians chapter 5, real quick, talks about filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. I would also point that out as well. People like to use that for anything, but I will tell you, that's a situation that it actually is applicable to. So make sure you check out Ephesians chapter 5 as well. That's it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.